Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Matt Bove here. A little bit of an emergency post-game recap episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. It'll just be me for this episode. We're going to just do something real quick. Admittedly, I'm recording this at like 2 a.m. inside the conference room at my hotel. Sal is on his way back to Buffalo following the big 31-10 win against the Miami Dolphins. This was a dominant win on both sides of the ball, and I think a really impressive statement that the Bills are not going to go away. They're not going to give over the AFC East without a fight, and that they probably are still the team to beat in this division. Miami, there are a lot of questions about that team, of course. There's a very now serious conversation that needs to be had about Tua. Really happy to see him be able to walk off the field, but a really scary injury for somebody who has been dealing with those concussion problems since his time back at Alabama. You were just hoping as a human that he is okay. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with that team, but even with Tua in the game before the injury, the Bills dominated. I mean, they had three interceptions, one of which was a disastrous play. The Jamarcus Ingram pick six. That is a ball that should never be thrown. It was the Will Levis pass from the other day, and then it was Tua doing it on Thursday night. I thought the defense was incredible, and that was the story of the game. And honestly, so much credit and respect to what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich were able to kind of plan up and get ready to go on a short week. I mean, they just did not let Tyreek or Jaylen Waddle beat them over the top. What it felt like they did was the only really guy who did anything was Devon Achane for the Dolphins, and it felt like they were just like, okay, like you can move the ball down the field, and we're just going to wait for you to make a mistake. And that's ultimately what happens. They would make mistakes, and the Bills would take advantage of it. I mean, they had the three turnovers. Jamarcus Ingram gets two. Christian Benford gets another. I would say two of the turnovers should have been completely avoidable. The second one, like, that's a bad throw from Tua. I know you could say the receiver slipped, but he overthrew him. And then Christian Benford, an easy interception. And then the Jamarcus Ingram second interception. The first one was, you know, just a nice play by Ingram. It hits that guy in the chest. It bounces off of him. But a nice play by Ingram, another player who we'll talk about more later. So they have the three turnovers. They also had the two turnovers on downs. One of them was the Ed Oliver sack, and then one of them was when right after Tua got injured and Skylar Thompson came in the game and they couldn't convert there. I think the game really changed. There was one singular moment. It was the Ed Oliver fourth down sack, and then on the next play, James Cook busts off the big run for the touchdown, and at that point it felt like they put him away. At that point it went from 17-7 to 24-7. Only a couple minutes left in the half. They hold him to a field goal right before, and then that Jamarcus Ingram was like the final interception for a touchdown. That was like the final nail in the coffin. I think defensively what they did without Taron Johnson, without Matt Milano, without Terrell Bernard for most of the game, another thing that we'll talk about, is simply remarkable from McDermott and Babich. I mean, he's a defensive-minded coach, and he always seems to be able to overcome adversity and injuries on that side of the ball. I think pretty clear as day, Sean McDermott outcoached Mike McDaniel in this game. Like, this is one of those instances where he coached circles around the guy that was on the other sideline, and I think a lot of Sean McDermott has flaws. There's no denying that. I think that there's a lot the Bills could have done better. I think that there have been a lot of mistakes that fall on him, but Thursday night was one of those instances where you're like, okay, well, like, defensively, you know that they're going to be okay. But I'm not saying I did know that. I'm just saying that's what it ended up being. You knew it was going to be okay after you watched them early in the game. I mean, the Dolphins had that one touchdown drive. Other than that, the Bills were shutting them down. They were forcing them into mistakes. They were making tackles. They didn't miss as many tackles. And that's really impressive considering the team speed that the Dolphins have. So many places all over the field. I thought defensively it was a really, really impressive effort. I think Bobby Babich deserves credit. There were a couple plays that they would want back for sure. But, I mean, how about Von Miller? Von Miller pops up. He gets a sack. Greg Rousseau had a nice tackle for loss that I thought was a pretty good play. Shout out to Mar Hamlin. He finished the game with 10 tackles. Baylen Spector had 10 tackles. Dorian Williams had 10 tackles. Christian Benford with a ridiculous 7-tackle game and an interception. I thought Ed Oliver flashed in this game. I thought A.J. Epenesa, they actually moved him inside on one play, and that kind of allowed Greg Rousseau to kind of turn the corner, and I think that forced a big play. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was. I just thought it was a really impressive day for the defense. I also liked Douglas' game as well after just kind of watching it from the first hand. Terrell Bernard is the one kind of knock on the game. Peck injuries are weird. I mean, I think top of mind for a lot of people is going to be Daquan Jones from last year. He got injured in week 5 and ended up coming back right at the end of the season. Figuring out the severity of the injury is going to be, I think, very important. There are different ranges. Could it be a sprain? Could it be a tear? Does it require surgery? You know, you just get the sense that, like, this would be another massive obstacle for the Bills to overcome. That was the bad injury news as far as the game was concerned. The good injury news was that Taron Johnson did not get placed on injured reserve before the game. That's a very good sign that the Bills are probably hopeful that he will be able to come back in some way, shape, or form within the next couple weeks. If they thought he was going to miss at least 4 games, they would have probably put him on IR. But the fact that they didn't do that tells me that maybe they think that they can put him in a club and just let him go out there and protect his arm, and it's not going to be something that misses, you know, a significant amount of time. So that's fantastic news for the Bills because he is a really big difference maker. But also shout out Cam Lewis. Like, Cam Lewis has been able to make some plays since Taron Johnson got injured in that game last Sunday. It was only 5 days ago. So Cam Lewis gets thrown into it, and I thought he did a nice job when he had to replace Taron in that first game against the Cardinals, and I thought he did a nice job against the Dolphins. So overall, I just think that this defense always seems to find a way. Last year, they had so many injuries at the end of the season that it almost felt impossible to find a way against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But, like, they cooked today against the Dolphins, and I definitely think that was far and away the biggest storyline from the game, was how good the defense was and how they did not let the Dolphins get anything going. Offensively, there were things to like. It wasn't unbelievably an impressive offensive performance, but I think that's kind of good. I mean, Josh Allen had 139 yards, and the Bills won by 21 points. He made plays when he had to. The throw to Ty Johnson on 3rd and 12 is stupid. That is a play that there's like 2 guys in the league who can make, and of course he is one of them. When it happened, I posted that Josh Allen at times is a cheat code, because I truly believe he is. He's just ridiculously good. I'm trying to think offensively what others. Oh, you know what else stands out? Joe Brady was also cooking on that first touchdown of the night, the James Cook 4th and 3, sending him in motion and then having another guy in motion and then sending him back across the field. They recognize the blitz was coming. He throws it to an easy play. He takes it for the touchdown. Like, that is the stuff that I think offensive minds can bring this kind of offense. You know, they've got a lot of different playmakers. They've got a lot of different skill sets there. So I thought that that was a really impressive play. Other than that, I mean, it was a very, very ho-hum day for the offense. I mean, I'm looking at it. Obviously, James Cook had the big touchdown. It was a 49-yarder. He finished the day 78 yards on 11 carries. So that means on the other 10 carries, he only had 29 yards. So it's not like he was incredibly efficient otherwise. But, I mean, obviously broke off the big one. He had 2 touchdowns. Thought Ray Davis had a couple nice runs. But, I mean, he averaged 3.2 yards a carry. Some of that came in garbage time at the end. Offensively, I mean, Shakir is just so reliable for them. Shakir had that really nice play that ended up the Jordan Poyer unnecessary roughness penalty. I think it was like a 16-yard catch and then, or a 20-yard catch and then a 15-yard penalty on top of that. So it ended up being like a 35-yard play. That was a really nice play for them. Yeah, it was 21 yards. I mean, he finishes just super reliable. 5 targets, 5 receptions, 54 yards, long of 21. So I think he's going to be the guy. I don't want to say he's the new Cole Beasley, because that's not a fair statement to either of them. I think he can do things. He's a little bit more versatile. I think he's getting better at finding space and some of the things that he's able to do. But I think that that guy is just like a really rock solid football player. Clear that they were trying to get Dalton Kincaid involved early, until that play where it looked like he took a knee to the head as somebody was coming and trying to tackle him. I don't think there's anything that can happen. It's just like a random play. It's a weird, fluky thing. He did come back into the game. He did have a couple catches after that happened, so that's a good sign, because I don't think it's anything that's lingering. But he finishes the day 4 targets, 4 receptions, 33 yards. Not earth-shattering numbers, but they did not need their offense today to explode. Basically, after the Jamarcus Ingram pick 6 and it was 31-10, it was okay, we're going to run the ball, we're going to take time off the clock, and we know that you're not going to score, and we're not going to do anything that either puts Josh Allen in risk of getting injured or a turnover that potentially changes a game. They were just controlling the clock at that point, and it clearly worked because they were obviously able to shut them down pre and post to an injury late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Other than that, I mean, Curtis Samuel had one catch for 3 yards. James Cook had the 17-yard touchdown. Ty Johnson had the 33-yard catch, and that was it. Ray Davis had one catch for negative 1 yard. Keon Coleman, one target, no catches. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, no catches. Mac Hollins, no catches. So when they say, like, everybody eats when you need them to eat, but they did not need to eat on Thursday night, and they were still able to, you know, just really make a statement against the Dolphins. I think that it's a good sign for the Bills that they didn't need Josh Allen to have like a superhuman performance like they did against the Cardinals. Sometimes you need your best player to go nuclear, and he's capable of doing it, but he did not have to on Thursday night. The defense was the ones who really kind of carried the weight here, and I think that they deserve a lot of the credit. I don't think Josh had a bad game. I think he made, like I said, a spectacular throw to Ty Johnson. I think he was efficient with everything he needed to do. Also, don't forget, like, he was wearing a glove on his left hand. The one mishap was the botched fumble between him and Connor McGovern, but I don't know if that would have happened without the glove on. It was a low snap. It's probably one that he needs to catch, but I mean, that could have happened at any point, really, so I don't think that that has anything specifically to do with the hand. I think just getting through this point in the season, two games that I don't think I should say that they should win. I mean, they should definitely beat the Cardinals at home. They were underdogs in this game. Like, Vegas does not give away free money. They were 2-point underdogs in this game. I know it was on the road. I know it was a short week, but I think this is a good win for them. And I think that this shows that they are very serious. And I think that you've got the Jags coming up next, but you're going to have extra rest for the Jags. I don't know yet about the Jags, what they are. I'm sure the Bills will be a pretty decent-sized favorite home Monday Night Football against the Jags. So that's another game that, you know, they absolutely have a chance to win. Then they kind of have that murderer's row of three games at Baltimore, at Houston, at New York. You win this Jags game, at that point, I think you win one of those next three, and you really like your start to the season. Maybe they're capable of doing more. I really do believe that. But 4-2 does not seem impossible right now. And, you know, given the questions we had before the season and the injuries that they've already dealt with, it's a pretty nice start. And now you've got Miami playing catch up with a very serious question, and that's, once again, more than football. I'm not trying to make this light of the situation at all, but who knows what happens with Miami. Jets already have a loss. I do think that they'll be better than they showed in that first game of the year. I just think that defense is too talented to not be any good. And Rodgers did make some plays. Like, you could tell there's rust, but you can also tell that he still can sling it around there a little bit. I think the Patriots are going to be, like, sneaky difficult, but I don't think that they're going to be a team that's really contending for a playoff spot. So I do think that after two games, like, the Bills are in a really good spot in this division. Obviously, they're 2-0. If the Patriots win, they'll also be 2-0 this week, and they'll have a tie at the top of the division. But, you know, getting out ahead of your opponents is a big deal. And also Miami, too. Like, this one thing about Miami. Miami was also down 14 points to the Jags, and like a yard and a half away from being down more off of that ETN fumble. So they've got some serious concerns, regardless of who is playing quarterback for them. I think that they're a flawed team in a lot of ways. Defensively, their defense didn't need to do a ton. I mean, like, their defense today was not anything special, but the Bills' offense wasn't either. I think it was just kind of the way the game itself played out. Offensively, like, they have Tyreek Hill, they have Jaylen Waddle. Totally get that. Those are two guys who can immediately take over a game. If you take that away, though, it's basically the Devon Achane show. And he's good, by the way. Like, that guy is serious. Devon Achane today had 96 yards rushing, averaged 4.4 yards a carry, also had 7 catches for 69 yards. So if you were a Devon Achane fantasy owner and you played him in this game, you're probably pretty happy because that's a very efficient day. Add a touchdown into that. But you would be even more happy if you had James Cook. If you're in a league where you have both of those guys, then that's really impressive. I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but I just kind of wanted to get something up quick because I know that a lot of people are going to wake up on Friday morning and they're going to want to consume as much Bills content as humanly possible because they're riding that high off of the game on Thursday night. I'll close by saying this, and I posted this on X, Twitter, whatever the heck you call it. It was just that the demise of the Buffalo Bills was greatly exaggerated. And I do think that they are still a team that can compete with the best teams in the league. I think that they've got a coach that can really dial some things up that cover up some of the flaws that they have on their roster. And they got the second best player in the league in Josh Allen, who can do things that a lot of other people can't do. And I think that that is a recipe for success. And I think that maybe the division, you know, I don't think the Dolphins, I don't know what's going to happen with Tua or whatever. I don't think they're just going to go away, and I don't think that the Jets are just going to go away, but the Bills certainly are not either. And I think that they've got enough talent where they might be able to get through some of this first wave of injuries, and then who knows, maybe Taron Johnson comes back, eventually get Matt Milano back. Like, they might have some real serious stuff to work with. So Bills are 2-0. I'm sorry that I did this solo, but Sal is probably, like, somewhere over one of the Carolinas at this point, and I didn't want to have to wait until the morning. I wanted to get this to you guys as fast as possible. So we will talk to you soon. Thank you for listening, watching, whatever you did. And, yeah, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys soon.